Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Oriental Aromatics Limited Q3 and 9-month FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Oriental Aromatics Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the third quarter and 9 months ending of the financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's belief as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Dharmil Budhani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Shamal Budhani, Executive Director, Mr. Girish Khandelwal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Parag Satoskar, Chief Executive Officer, and Ms. Kiran Preetgill, Company Secretary. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Dharmil Budhani to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, the management line has been disconnected. Please stay connected. We are connecting them. We have connected Mr. Dharmil Budhani.
Yes, hi, this is Dharmil.
Dharmil, you will have to give the introduction.
Okay, I'm sorry, I got disconnected, so I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
Purvangi had finished. Thank you, Purvangi. Good afternoon, everybody. It is a pleasure to welcome you all to the earnings conference call to discuss the results of the third quarter and 9 months ended of financial year 2024. Let me brief you on the operational highlights, after which our CFO will brief you on the financial highlights. Firstly, I'm glad to inform you that Oriental Aromatics received the prestigious Global Supplier Excellence Award from Procter & Gamble for the year 2023. We are amongst the 80 companies who have been selected for this award out of approximately 60,000 external business partners globally for Procter & Gamble. Moving on to the operational highlights in the quarter that went by, production volumes in the group have shown a double-digit growth across all the divisions due to a healthy demand pickup in the specialty aroma ingredients division. However, demand in flavors and fragrance and camphor division was lower than the previous quarter due to off-season trends. On the CapEx front, our brownfield project in Baroda will get commissioned by the end of fourth quarter of this financial year, and the greenfield project in Mahad is on track and will be completed by the end of the fourth quarter of this year. Now I request Mr. Girish Khandelwal, our CFO, to give the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dharmil, and welcome everyone to this earnings conference call. Let me first take you through our consolidated performance for the third quarter, followed by the year-to-date performance. The operating revenue for the quarter was rupees 197 crores, which decreased by approximately 1% on a year-on-year basis and 13% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Operating EBITDA reported was rupees 14.1 crore, which increased by 28% as compared to rupees 11 crores in the previous quarter and rupees 14.1 crore in the corresponding quarter. Operating EBITDA margins stood at 7.14% as compared to 4.85% in the previous quarter. Net profit after tax reported was rupees 2.6 crore, which marginally increased by 8% on a quarter-on-quarter basis and decreased by 32% on a year-on-year basis. PAT margins were at 1.32%, which was a decrease of 26 basis points on a quarter-on-quarter basis. We have incurred a one-time expenses of rupees 2.51 crore during the quarter, being interest charged pertaining to the GST demand for financial year 2017-18 and 2018-19. This expense was incurred due to Customs Department not recovering the GST at the time of imports due to certain challenges on their portal. Hence, after reassessment of our bill of entries, we have paid the GST amount along with interest. This impacted the PAT margins to the extent of 1%. Coming to the 9 months performance, on a consolidated basis, the operating revenue was rupees 620 crore, which was a decrease of approximately 5% on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA reported was rupees 26 crore, which decreased as compared to rupees 45 crore in the corresponding 9 months FY23. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 4.19%. The net debt equity ratio stood at 0.3x as compared to the previous quarter, which was 0.33x. With this, we can now open the floor for the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you can press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking the question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for the moment while the question queue assembles. And the first question is from the line of Dipen Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity. So firstly, wanted to understand that our production volume has grown in double digits, but still our sales has dropped by 13%. So realization drop has been higher than our RM prices drop. So any specific reason or which segment has seen more such realization drop?
Yeah, so Dipen, to answer your question, Dharmil has already covered in his opening remarks that there has been a softened demand in the camphor and the terpene chemical space as well as in the fragrance space, which is an annual off-season demand drop which we normally see every year. And that's the reason why I think we see a drop in sales to certain quarters. I mean, to be very specific, I will have to go back and check whether the drop in the RM prices is more significant than the drop in the FG sales. That is something which I don't have the numbers, but we can get back to you.
So, in respect to specialty chemicals pricing, particularly realization of our products, so are we seeing improvement in foreseeable future since our RM prices have been falling? So, when do we see the recovery in realization of specialty chemical products pricing?
So, Dipen, we are in fact very encouraged by the fact that we are seeing a recovery in terms of demand first. You know, so the whole impact of destocking as well as people kind of keeping less inventories. I think we are seeing a slow kind of recovery from that phase. and people are buying more. And as they are buying more, we are also seeing in some cases improvement in the realizations. I think we probably are between one or two quarters away from reaching a steady state of demand and supply when it comes to specialty aroma ingredients.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll join back.
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhalwani Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is, I think as we had mentioned in the last call, the volume recovery is evident. So, you know, if I look at your margins, you know, our gross margins have improved substantially despite realization being muted. So with this gross margins, even if I adjust for the one-time charges, I think we are currently at 8.5% kind of EBITDA margin. And earlier we were saying that our normalized margin steady state basis will be 15% to 17%. So, you know, how do we see path from here to reaching that 15% to 17%?
So, Parag, if I can, we have revised the forecast to 10% to 12% in one or two of our previous calls. And I think, you know, we expect to see that probably, like Parag mentioned, as things stabilize, you know, in the near future.
Right, Dharmil. So I think I was there on the call, but I understood that that 10 to 12% was more during the phase where this kind of a turmoil was happening in the market. But in the medium term, you know, are we still looking at 10 to 12% or we aspire to go to 15% plus kind of a margin?
So in the medium term, I think the turmoil continues, and I think we will stay with 10 to 12%. And I don't want to go that much ahead. Let's see how we, you know, foresee the next 2 to 3 quarters.
Okay.
I think just to add to what Dharmil said, I mean, in terms of the new product offerings, in terms of the acceptance of the new products, I think all these are steps in the positive direction. And it is better to stay with the guidance that we have given of 10 to 12% and see how the market evolves going forward.
Okay, got it. Sir, second question is on the Campus side. So, you know, are we seeing, so barring this being an off-season, are we seeing any kind of a lesser intensity on the competition side? Is more supply getting absorbed? You know, if you can give some color on that side.
Parag, go ahead.
Yeah, so primarily, Mr. Desai, you know, Q3 and beginning of Q4 every year for the camphor space is always an off-season when we get out of the festival zone every year. So I think in terms of the demand, we are probably seeing that same level of softening. We have in our earlier calls mentioned that the competitive landscape in camphor has substantially changed, and the newer players might have different ways of kind of approaching the market. And that's the reason why we see pressures on pricing, even at these low volumes.
Okay. So that we'll continue to see. That is what we should believe, right?
At least in the foreseeable future with these new capacities in place, we will see pressure on the camphor and the terpene chemical piece continuing.
Okay.
And but the demand should improve as we go into the festive season again.
Okay, got it. And last question is on CapEx. So I think we said that the Baroda brownfield will get you know, commercialized in Q4, and by Q4 FY24, you know, we will also commercialize the new greenfield one. So, you know, in the new greenfield one was to come in phases, right? So, how much capacity we are putting up, and when can we start seeing commercial revenue, you know, from both these facilities?
So, also to begin with the Baroda facility, I mean, we have now started hooking up all the reactors and all the equipment to our instrumentation system. So we are well on track to begin water trials mid of March and start commercial production. And in the MAHAD facility as well, we are seeing the same kind of action. You know, we have always maintained that we have between, say, 200 days to 300 days where we have the samples which go to the customers and get approved. Because of our past experience, we feel that, and these products which we have already manufactured in the past, we feel that that time could be reduced. But we can say that we are between 2 to 3 quarters away from substantial commercial add-ons to our top line and bottom line because of the new products coming into the picture.
Okay. And how much CapEx we have put in the first phase in MAHAD?
Girish, you want to answer the question?
Yeah.
This has been on... Okay, sure, go ahead. Go ahead, Girish.
Yes, 120 crore approx.
Okay, got it. Thank you. That's it for my time. All the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. The next question is from the line of Kausav from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my question. I had a couple of them. So firstly, I'll frame it in this way. So in FY21, the company had, the company operating margins had peaked above 20% levels. So I just wanted to understand, was this because of some one-off post-COVID situation, supply-demand dynamics in the camphor market? So could you explain that? And then also would like to understand, what are your steady-state realistic margins we can expect from each vertical, namely camphor, aroma chemicals, and flavor and fragrances?
Parag, I'll take this. So
sure.
Firstly, when the margins that you talked about appeared, I have clearly stated that these are not sustainable. And they were one-off, and that was due to demand supply on the camphor and various other chemicals, finished goods that we used to supply. On the second part of the question, we've already given, you know, a revised forward steady state of 10 to 12. And we don't have the answer to this split between each divisions, but it will average out to between 10 to 12 is what our guidance is.
But it's fair to assume that the main lever that got to 20% was camphor, right?
At that point, not only camphor, I think it was camphor and demand on other chemicals, both bulk and specialty.
Okay, fine. So currently, how much is, where do you see this camphor market going? I mean, in terms of coming back to realistic, like steady state pricing at least. How do you see this market maturing over the next 1-2 years? Or is there anything you can share on the supply demand dynamics on that, since it's a big part of your business?
So,
go ahead.
Yeah. So primarily, I think camphor, if you ask me, is an extremely mature market. Point number one. The national camphor market or the international camphor market able to absorb so much of capacity that has been infused in this space. So we will have to, and that's the reason why the pressure continues. It also has a raw material angle to it where the alpha-pinene prices continue to be very unstable and they've started moving up again. So I think if you look at a combination of these two factors, I do not have a kind of a magic ball where I can predict what's going to happen 1 or 2 years down the line. But I think it's fair to say that there's not so much of room to absorb so much capacity. So there's no understanding to why this capacity has come up. And I think we'll have to take it case by case and develop a strategy around pricing as well as sales for camphor going forward.
Where has this capacity come from?
That's out in the public domain. So
yeah.
We would not like to refer to our competitors on this phone call.
Okay, and the next question is on your CAPEX. Some time ago you had mentioned that your total CAPEX strategy amount for the next 3 to 5 years is between 350 to 400 crores. So I wanted to understand, I understand you had also mentioned in previous calls that it's delayed a bit, you've toned it down a bit too, but I wanted to understand, was this 350 to 400 crores pertaining only to these two, to Mahar and Baroda, or do you have some other plans too?
No, pertaining to Mahar and Baroda, we have revised it. We have actually gone ahead with 120 crores of that 350, and we will wait to see how things progress over the next few quarters and inform all our shareholders on what our plans next are.
Okay, and just last question. Could you explain a bit? I mean, I understand this. What hydrogenation is there on, it's there on public portals, I understand that, but I'm saying, could you explain from your angle, from your company's angle, exactly what you're doing in this hydrogenation facility?
So hydrogenation is a key named reaction using which there are a lot of aroma ingredients that are manufactured in the specialty space as well as in the super specialty space. So I think we have built a sizable multi-product hydrogenation facility, which has the ability to pre as well as post process the hydrogenated products, and that's our plan going forward to really launch a basket of products based on this chemistry from this plant.
Is this higher margin to your current aroma chemicals business, or it's around the same?
I think it is a generic specialty aroma ingredient. So, you know, when we launch it, we definitely will have a kind of a competitive landscape to kind of compete with. And I think based on our current understanding of the chemistry and the costing of the materials, we are pretty sure that we'll be able to compete and create our own space.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. And the next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, my first question is, in your peak cycle, what was the spread in camphor? That is your FY21 or 22, whichever year you want to take as reference. And in this 9 months, what is the spread on camphor? My second question is, in your 9 months revenue, if you could just help us know the camphor as a percentage of your revenue, or basically aroma chemical and fragrance chemicals as a percentage of revenue. And did camphor contribute anything to the EBITDA? These are my questions.
So starting from the first question, the bottom question, yes, of course it contributes to the EBITDA. 21 numbers and comparison to 9 months, I think this data we can refer back to. I don't think any of us would have this on the tip of our fingers. What was your second part of your question?
What is the portion of revenue 9 months from the chemicals business, which is you refer as aroma and fragrance?
Yes, so we've always mentioned that both in, you know, in terms of value, we still continue to maintain that we have split our business, you know, equally 33, 33, 33 across all those verticals, the three verticals that we operate in. So as value goes down in camphor, we have seen selling price corrections even in the aroma chemical space, both in bulk and specialty.
Okay. So this one-third of your revenue, which is camphor, has some EBITDA which goes in the number. It's not that this one-third camphor, because of the lower spreads,
mm-hmm.
is now EBITDA zero or loss.
No. Yes, aromatics will stay from EBITDA zero kind of situation.
Sorry?
No, we will not get into that kind of business if it makes a loss. So the answer to your question is that there is contribution from camphor to the EBITDA.
Oh, okay. Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good afternoon. I wanted to know the capacity utilization across division for the quarter or 9 months, whichever you can give.
So I think barring the planned and the organized shutdowns, I think all the plants continue to run at full capacity, at least for this quarter. In the previous quarter, because of lack of demand, we had taken some shutdowns which were kind of planned a little later, a little early, to ensure that we kind of liquidated the inventories. But now I think in the quarter that has gone by and in the coming quarters, we plan to run our plants at full capacity, all the three divisions.
Okay. So, what are the capacities of our capex at Mahad and Baroda, and also how it will be used? Like, aroma is a raw material for flavor and fragrances. So, how much of it will be used captively?
So if you look at Mahad is a single product plant, and if you look at the new capex that's coming in Baroda, that's a multi product plant. So you know, the capacities will be defined to begin with in sync with what is the demand in the market, and based on that we can scale it up to as much as we want. Point number one, we would not be very keen to kind of share the capacities right now at this stage. And to answer your question on the aroma going into our internal fragrance compounding, we can see that there is a sizable amount of materials that we produce internally which are used by our fragrance compounding division.
Okay. Can you give me the percentage, like out of this capacity, 50% will be used captively or 20% will be used captively? How much percent will be used captively?
This would vary from product to product, because the perfumery business consists of hundreds of chemicals that we use, and we use all the chemicals that we manufacture. So we cannot tell you individually, but yeah, it could range between 10 to 15% for internal consumption.
Okay, and for this,
so it doesn't mean that Mahad, what it will produce in the future, we will consume 10% of the capacity. Maybe that plant we would consume only 2% of the capacity, but then there could be other molecules which we are producing where in some cases we consume 20-25% of what we produce. There are also materials that they make for us internally for only our use, which sometimes we don't sell.
Okay.
So if you look at
okay.
the average of all of that, I'm coming at a number between 10 to 15%.
Okay. My last question is, for the quarter, one-third revenue contribution from all the divisions, right? Like 33% from all the divisions, or has it changed?
No, it continues at that clip.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil from Perpetual Capital Advisors. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the camphor industry. So when you mentioned there's a lot of new capacity, are you referring to only domestic market, or have imports also increased significantly?
So we do not see a lot of imports of camphor per se coming into India. There are camphor, you know, there was a phase last year when there was a lot of natural camphor which was produced in China, which kind of was finding its way to India, but unfortunately it has very limited use in the prayer segment. So, you know, those volumes have reduced substantially. But we are not seeing a lot of imports of camphor into India, but when we globally compete in the pain management space or in certain other markets, we see a lot of camphor coming from China.
Yeah, and I think what Parag also is asking is, are we referring to the domestic capacity? Yes, we are.
Yes.
Okay.
So we don't know if globally capacity has increased, but domestically, yes, that's the capacity we're referring to.
Okay. And is there any other, is there any way where you can further forward integrate to try to use this camphor capacity?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Parag, did you understand it?
No. I mean, are you saying that forward integration from camphor?
Yes. I mean, is there any other use case?
So, I mean, there, like I said, that camphor primarily, if you look at the global consumption, is used in worship, is used in pain management, and is used in certain medicinal products.
Correct. And I don't think, Parag, his question is there any new use that we foresee? The answer
is no. I don't
think
so. No.
Okay. Okay. So the incremental supply that has come in, I mean, even if the industry continues to grow at whatever pace it grows at, this might take far longer than expected for the balance to come back if no one else decides to sort of cut down on their capacity.
That's what we are saying. You know, you are in a situation where there is excess capacity of a material. There are new domestic competitors. So we want to see how the next few quarters play out. So we don't really have a crystal ball to comment and say what is going to happen to camphor four quarters from now. We'll just see how it's going. Right now we can tell you it contributes to the EBITDA and we are going to be selling it at capacity.
Okay, okay. And one last question is, so how have the discussions changed with your clients? I mean, with global blenders last year versus this year now?
So in terms of the fragrance and flavor vertical, even within Oriental Aromatics, we are seeing, you know, improved contributions within the three verticals we have. And that is, you know, common sense that that can happen because, A, the raw material prices have gone up and there hasn't been any major corrections on the selling price, or if there has been, it's still been manageable. So I think that the fragrance and flavor business currently is in the spotlight, and I think the chemicals, and which is both the bulk and the specialties, will take its time. Let's see what happens in a couple of quarters is what we continue to say. And our camphor business, as far as Oriental Aromatics is concerned, is steady, is contributing, and we will continue to stay in it irrespective of what the competition comes or goes.
Okay, okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kausav from BMSPL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question again. Wanted to understand, could you give some broad sense of what the fixed asset turnover would be for the Mahad capex, the greenfield capex you're doing now, approximately?
Girish?
I don't know. Parag, do we have this with us, Girish? Maybe we can come back on this.
Yeah,
we'll come back.
Approximately, what type of revenues could that plant generate?
So we normally stick to a number of, 0.7x. Girish, correct me if I'm wrong. Of top line that gets generated at the plant when we commercialize fully.
Yes, because it's a greenfield project, so it will be lower. But,
okay, got it.
We stick to one and a half times.
Yeah.
Okay, and just, I know we spoke a lot about camphor, but just one question on this. Because I'm really trying to understand where spreads are now versus pre-COVID levels. So if I frame it this way, are camphor spreads currently lower than pre-COVID levels? Let's say the spreads that you saw in FY19 or 18?
Absolutely.
So they are way lower than FY19 levels?
I'm not saying they're way lower. I'm saying yes, that they have corrected. But then when two verticals correct, the other vertical supports the other two verticals. So our fragrance and trade flavor contributions have improved. Our aroma chemicals in the bulk and the specialties are continuing to improve. And we will, like I said, see how camphor continues over the next few quarters. And I repeat, we will be in the camphor business. It will contribute. Let's just see how it progresses.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for that information. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanket Saurabh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. And once again, I think congratulations to the team for the Global Supplier Excellence Award.
Thank you.
Starting to see that even in tough times, at least you guys are, delivering on that front. So, a couple of questions on my front. So, I think when I see the QOQ improvement in margin, so say from 4.85 to 7.14, so what exactly, which division has really contributed to this margin improvement? And has the camphor margin, say, vis-a-vis say, last quarter, has it come down or has it improved? So that's my first question.
So the fragrance and flavor and the specialty chemicals has contributed. The bulk continues to be under pressure and camphor continues to be under pressure, but they stay positive.
Got it. Now, and second question maybe to Girish Bhai would be, you know, how has been our inventory in terms of number of days? Like, because we talked about some liquidation, I think, which has taken place this quarter as well as some liquidation took this last quarter as well. So if I compare what was the inventory days in this quarter, last quarter and last quarter of last financial year. So I want to compare this with Q2 FY24 as well as Q3 FY23, if you can share these numbers.
So inventory days, you see, currently it is at 129 days.
Okay.
And earlier, it means previously it was 150-160 days range. So inventory days has improved.
So this 155-60 was for Q2 FY24?
Yes. Q1.
And what was the Q1 situation in Q3 FY23?
Q2 was a little bit improved and... this Q3 is improved subsequently.
Okay. So can you just specifically tell me what is the... So 120, just to, for my understanding, 125 is for Q3 FY24, is it?
I'll just give you...
okay.
Yeah. If you don't have it live, you can always...
125 is the Q3. And earlier it was 155-160 days.
Okay. And so, and my final question would be regarding. I'm sorry, I joined 10 minutes late. So, in case you already answered it, I can always refer to the transcript. So, this was pertaining to the upcoming capex of this Baroda one. So, by when do we expect this to start contributing? Because I think there is a commissioning that you have mentioned as this quarter. But I want to understand by when can this scale up or start contributing meaningfully to the top line as well as bottom line.
So we have said in today's call, Sanket Bhai, that it needs us between 200 to 300 days for any new plant to for us to reach out to the customers, get the approvals, and then get it incorporated in the RFQs. So that we can start supplying them. Based on our past experience and a much better level of acceptability with our global customers, we will try and it will be our endeavor to really get that time frame down a bit. But, you know, I think it is safe to say that we will need 2 to 3 quarters before, after commissioning the plant, before they start meaningfully contributing to the top line and the bottom line.
And would there be, say, variation, say, between a brownfield versus a greenfield? Because earlier time we told that a greenfield would require more stabilization as well as, say, greater acceptance. But brownfield one might have those products which already finds acceptance amongst our clients. So does that really accelerate the uptake by any means?
So broadly speaking, I think brownfield becomes a bit easier to integrate because you have a lot of infrastructure around the project which helps in commissioning and which helps in product stabilization much faster. Having said that, I think because we follow the philosophy of kind of doing multiple commercial batches in our multi-product plant before we take it even for a single product plant, we are pretty confident that the time frame would remain more or less the same.
Got it. And when you are talking about, say, scaling up, so what does scaling up mean? Is it like 50% utilization, 60, 70? Is there a number which helps us, you know, get a sense of that utilization vis-a-vis scaling up? So like three quarters you told. So by three quarter, what kind of utilization we are looking at across these scaled up plants?
But honestly, I think we are hoping for 100% utilization.
Yeah. That's great to hear, Ravil Bhai. And once again, appreciate your support and best wishes.
Thank you.
I'm sure things would be much better.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants may press star and one to ask question. As there are no further questions, I would now hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings conference call. I hope we have been able to answer your questions satisfactorily. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our IR managers at Valorem Advisors. Yeah, I think.
Thank you.
Hello.
On behalf of Oriental Aromatics Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.